This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If you're looking for love, well, you've come to the wrong place. Because Kirsten and Scally, well, they don't know a thing. And the men that they cast on this show are truly a disgrace. So we don't care about the love that might be there. Yeah, we just want to see the drama.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Love Island wrap up. Today, we will be talking about Love Island from August 8th to 11th. That's right. This is the penultimate recap. We won't be back again after this until the finale. And with me, I guess I'm Kirsten McInnes. Sorry, I'm over it. And with me, as always, is Brian Scally. Scally, how are you?
I'm good. I was just wondering if you could purr or act like a cat for no reason. Is that a possibility? Or it would be more interesting than that challenge for sure.
Sorry, I don't want this podcast to be scaring Jacob Jones.
I'm not sure what reaction, but I don't want to know what reaction Jacob would have to that.
Scary stuff. Here's the situation. I messed up in the first 2 seconds of recording this podcast. And any other season of this show, I would have stopped and started over again. But this season, no, can't be bothered. That's where I'm at.
I mean, you know, this season is wrapping up. We are getting some closing storylines. I do feel like we are moving on to new material. The tough thing is it's a lot of new people. And while I wanted new people all season long, the new people to be in like the last batch, the last week of the show, you never get that involved in. And usually they just go home. And that sucks for them, but also I don't usually have them making up half of the cast. So that's where we're at right now.
It just like got really weird because like the OGs that are still there are the ones that I wish weren't here.
Uh-huh.
And then the non-OGs are, I don't know them. Like if Bailey had come in earlier, I'm sure I would like her a lot. If Lana had come in earlier, I'm sure I'd like her a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like most of the newbies. I just don't know them.
I don't care about them because I don't know them.
Yeah, like I think Allie points it out. Not that I know many of the OGs particularly well either, but at least they're familiar to me. So I'm clinging on there.
I think something that we neglected to do last time is to really eulogize Cachet, who was the biggest character of the season. She carried the season on her shoulders. I hope her back is okay. And I feel like we just were kind of like, oh, she's gone. Well, this sucks. Let's stop it, you know?
Hmm. Yeah. A point that is, again, by as one review called her, that Allie Lasher girl brought up. She
not that Allie Lasher girl.
Well, it was in a positive manner. Allie will find it endearing. So,
you're just going to presume how Allie's going to take something.
We've talked. But so I don't know. She has the, you know, great point of what makes Love Island great is their lack of loyalty to any one cast member in general. I do think that bringing in Casey and Andre was a little bit of a last-ditch effort to save cash. I think they might have saved them until the next recoupling, like had one additional one, had they not been trying to save her. But I think it's ultimately good for the show that if a cast member is going to go home, they let them go home. Like, we are going to have, in other seasons, not this one really, big moments where a huge name and our fan favorite goes home in the middle of the season, and that's heartbreaking, but like, you feel something. And that didn't happen almost at all this season, but with Cash, it did. And so if Cash made it to the end with any single person, I feel like it was assumed that she was going to be winning the show, mm-hmm. which great for us. Cash is like a good winner, but also like kind of predetermined. Her going here leaves the field much more open than it was before. She's a great personality. Really, like you said, did carry the season, but I also do love that the show is willing to cut bait at any time on anyone.
Yeah, but I feel like they've chosen their new winner and I'm not happy about it.
Yeah, I mean, in the absence of some of the other bigger personalities, it do seems like we have defaulted into a little bit of a positive edit for a couple I'm not a particular fan of, but that's where we are.
It's okay. So I guess we'll talk about this week of Love Island. And I just, if anyone is hoping for like a beat by beat, you're not going to get that from us because we don't care. This season is bad. It's boring. Don't watch it. If you're worried about how you might have missed something from what we're talking about, don't worry about it. It's not that important.
I think it's the type where this is a fine background season. I am really going to be curious. We'll talk, I guess, next episode where this season ultimately stacks up against the many other seasons of Love Island. I don't think well.
It's worse than UK season 4 to me, which I hated so much.
Yeah, I agree there. I do agree. Yeah, we'll see how it compares to US season 1. I don't want to spoil that quite yet, but I don't even know. I think that there is a good amount to talk about from here. Like I said, new storylines popping up. I don't think it will be as beat by beat as early in the season, but definitely some stuff to talk about.
Yes, a little bit did happen. We get at the start.
A little bit.
A little bit happened, okay? And I don't think that that is an inaccurate statement of facts. And again, if people want to fight about it, please feel free to at me at Kirsten Said What. But if I have to read your bad opinion, you also have to pay me for it. So that's paypal.me/Kirsten Said What. Send me money. okay, so at the start, it almost looks like Trina and Olivia are gonna like terrorize Charlie, but then nothing comes of it. But I don't know if I would have even wanted to see that.
Yeah, I don't think I do because I like Trina. I was not looking for her to take a heel turn and become a villain once again in the eyes of the villains, I would say. I also think it's just hard to muster up that much emotion towards Charlie, but definitely they were super frustrated, just mad that their friend was going home, which is understandable. I don't know if they had a justified gripe with him for them to actually go ahead and be mean to him. I don't think that he like screwed Cash and cheated on her. Like, I think he was pretty open. I don't know that he was 100% like forthcoming all of the time, but he was pretty clear in his intentions, I would say.
I would agree with that 100%. One moment I also want to really cue up, because Trina and Andre talk about like why they're together, but I don't believe a second of it. but Jeremy and Bailey talk, and Bailey's like, oh, you're so much funnier and cooler than you look like on TV. Basically being like, yeah, you look boring and shitty on TV.
Part of me is like, I feel like they've made an effort to edit in some Jeremy moments, maybe because they're just know that we're stuck with him until the end and they are never going to escape that. So why not give him a couple moments? He's had I would say maybe this stretch is his best stretch on the show, and it's a low bar. And I don't think that that is, you know, that he really even cleared it by that much, but they're giving him a few moments here and there. And Bailey is determined to, if they're not going to show those moments, they'll at least show her talking about the moments that we're not seeing.
See, the thing is I feel like they've started trying to show moments of Jeremy being quote unquote funny. But the problem is that he's not funny and all of his jokes are bad. And he's awkward and it just doesn't come across well. Like even, not to like super jump ahead, but even like when he's joking around with his mom, I was like, oh, so you're both just really unfunny people. Like, what is going on?
Yeah, I don't know. I think she was a little bit more of a personality even than he was, but I think he has some good moments, like where he drags Andre for a second. He's like, oh, you gonna clap when I go home too? Or
and like, as he should. Andre should clap and we all will too, Jeremy.
That's what I was gonna say, is I think it'll be the audience that's doing the clapping finally, but that may not happen until the finale at this point, I would say. Yeah, I'm pretty sure we're locked in there, so get ready.
I don't want it. I hate him so much. He's so boring. Like, it's not even like, oh, he's a bad person. That's bad people on TV can be entertaining. He has broken the cardinal sin of reality TV, which is being boring.
I've just grown indifferent. He's just there. I would like him to go home over almost anyone because he's bringing nothing, but I just can't keep the energy inside of me.
You said Jeremy. The opposite of love is not hate. It's indifference.
I mean, it's true, I think. So,
but the thing is it's not like, I feel like it's coming across like I have this like virulent hatred for him. I hate that he's on the show because he's boring, but I don't like hate him. Like, I'll gladly never think about him again as soon as he's off my TV screen.
The thing is, I don't even think he's the most boring cast member on there anymore, and we'll get there.
He's not, but he's the most persistent boring cast member.
Yeah, he's the longest running boring cast member, but I don't think he's the most boring anymore.
Yeah, Charlie is.
Charlie is watching paint dry. Charlie, I don't understand how he got on TV.
Such a chill. Well, it's because he's extremely hot and he had a lot of social media followers, right?
I have no idea. I have not checked the social media standings of the newbies, to be honest.
He's very attractive, but he is so boring. And but they don't even put him on the show, really. Like, Jeremy's boring and they give him screen time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't get it. Charlie, I feel like it must have just been Cash playing off of him. Like, there were conversations where Charlie and Cash were talking, and I think this was in maybe one of the Paramount Plus episodes, but it was highlighted how much she would just like speak for 3 minutes straight and he would just go like, not even a word, just like, hey, this person does not speak. They don't have anything to contribute, and it's so frustrating. There are attractive people who even if their personalities aren't good, they have one, so that is kind of a problem.
You're 100% right, and I think that's why I'm just like, how dare you to him for dumping Cash because she was not boring. There's also a lot of these episodes are all like, ooh, Corey and Olivia, they're so glad they can cuddle. Oh, they're, it's so cute.
The thing is, there are no couples on this show anymore. There's just none. I think every one of them is rocky at some point, but when especially, like, it's down to, of the actual couples on this show, even though none of them have labels, I would say it's Corey and Olivia and Kira and Will. And Kira and Will have decided to become a shaky couple this week. So they're forced to portray Corey and Olivia as like, wow, what? They're solid as a rock and they're so great and they're madly in love. It's like they coupled up a week ago, if that.
Well, yeah, and it's so bizarre to me Because it's just very obviously fake. Like somebody, one of the tweets tonight was that Olivia deserves an Emmy for her acting. And I'm like, no, Emmys are for good actors.
See, I'm starting to, if I have to put this on a scale, I think it's more convincing than Calvin and Moira.
What a high bar. A high bar to clear. Calvin and Moira.
But otherwise, yeah, I don't really believe it. I don't know. It's hard to tell. I don't know if Corey is actually into it. I don't know if Olivia is like convinced herself at this point. I feel like they both like, no, like it is what it is. We are at the end of the show. We're not finding anyone else. Maybe like we may as well explore this. I don't see any but they're real not potential
actually exploring it because they literally, they've known each other a month. They got the hideaway and they talked all night, which like there's nothing wrong with that. But the way Olivia was talking about how, oh, Corey and I are going to climb each other like a tree, like, and then you didn't when you had the shot. So like, you're lying.
That's what it is. It's like some of the, whether they're, you know, the bonus episodes or even making it on the show. Sorry, Jenny Autumn, but Olivia portrays herself as impossibly horny and she does not act on that. I think they've both tried, you know, said they're holding back and they want to actually get to know each other, which is like all well and good. But then also I don't need to hear about how they're going to like rip the sheets in a night of passion. That's not actually going to happen.
Yeah, because here's the thing. If both of them were so H-word, they would be having sex. They'd be hooking up. They would be doing more than what they're doing now. It's all for show. And it's fake. And I'm sorry. And it does make me think less of Corey for buying into it.
Yeah, I think Casey and Ellie actually had a more passionate night in the main bedroom than Olivia and Corey did in the hideaway.
Literally. Literally. These two strangers who I would have voted for them to win the money.
Yeah, I mean, over some of the compare, like, you know, other couples, I do like that Ellie, like I said, more passionate night and then immediately the next morning is like, yeah, no, I'm completely out. Just a friend. I have no interest in this man.
I guess it wasn't very good.
No, it seems to be that was the case.
And you know what? It has. Sometimes you gotta kiss a lot of frogs before you meet your prince.
Not a frog.
It's a saying.
I know.
Oh my God. They do the challenge where like the girls have to, is this the one where they have the secret mission?
No, the Fast and the Furriest is the challenge.
Oh, it's where they had to like steer each other, right?
Yeah, they were like a human wheelbarrow.
Yeah.
Dressed as a rabbit. It was bad. I don't need this challenge. I need the challenge department to step it up. Love Island challenges are in general bad, as like a Are You the One challenge is as well. But I feel like these have been even worse than usual.
Yeah, they've been very boring. I don't remember what challenge is what because they were none of them matter at all. Yeah, it was awkward.
Yeah, I don't know. From this, you just get like Trina and Andre worked really well together. So Trina now thinks she like might have a bit of a crush on Andre. I don't think that as this week has played out, that has developed at all. I don't think it will develop, but you know, a great friendship between the two of them.
Yeah, and you know what? Good for them. I hope they're very happy in their separate lives. We also get Trina does like talk to Charlie about how she thought he was faking his tears, but like, I don't know. He's like, oh, you make decisions and then you live with them.
Well, that is the thing. If I'm Alana at this point, and regardless, like, first of all, he's saying that he thinks he made the wrong decision potentially and he should have picked Cash. But you know what? You make a decision and you have to live with it. And that's it. Like, wow, if I'm Alana here, I'm the decision that you have to live with. Like, that is so harsh.
Yeah, she did nothing to deserve that. She's done nothing but be hot and pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like I can't think of a single other thing Alana's done. But okay.
It's not great. It's just like, yeah, I have no other options because no one else is coming in, and I sent home the girl that I prefer, so I guess I'm stuck with this one, is essentially what's being said here.
Huma, if someone ever was like, oh yeah, well, I picked you and I have to live with that, I'd be like, well, live with this, buddy. Like, frick you. I'm out of here.
You get married. It's like, oh, well, I made this mistake, so here we are.
I have to live with it. Oh, okay.
So romantic.
Well, it's just really like someone who cares about the sanctity of a relationship, obviously. In the first episode, it really seems like they're going to start portraying Will and Kira as like the ones to watch, but that quickly falls apart on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
But they do, this is when the girls go undercover and they have to do all of the tasks.
Mm-hmm.
So the tasks were, Trina had to get a boy to make her a smoothie and then refuse to drink it. Bailey had to get a boy to give her a foot massage. Alana had to slow dance with a boy who was not her partner. Ellie had to get a boy to act like a cat. Kira had to get a boy to style her hair. And Olivia had to get a boy to let her paint their toenails. Or did they paint her? I don't know. All of this was pretty boring.
It stinks. They need to get rid of this challenge. This sucks. It's no one ever like is shocked. They do it every single season. And then like, first of all, Charlie refusing to act like a cat and just being, again, the most boring person alive. Just like, I'm not doing this. No, no.
And then
no.
He's in the confessional like, yeah, it seemed like something Ellie would just do.
Yeah, I don't believe them. I don't believe they ever fall for it. I think that they always know what's going on. The tasks aren't interesting. The reactions aren't interesting because they know it's a task. Bring back the lie detector. I'll take the babies over this. Like, I think the problem with the lie detector this season is every single couple would come back as, no, I'm not interested in this person. But like, at least that's interesting TV, because this was not.
No, I did like how Ellie did way more acting like a cat than Charlie ever did. Like, she's like, meow, purr.
Alana's like, hey, can you teach me a slow dance? Can we do that? And Will and Andre are just like, let's teach you the fastest dance in the whole world. Like, it counts. It's fine.
It counts. Don't worry. Corey did a good job braiding Kira's hair.
Yeah, I mean, it was fine. I love that it's like a decent enough sloppy braid, but you know what? It looks beachy, I guess. And she's like, oh my God, you did such an amazing job. Thank you.
What I loved also that I need to bring up, when Ellie and Charlie are doing yoga, she's like, oh, this is cat position. But she was in cow position, because in cat position, you arch your back like a spooky cat.
Oh.
So normally, like at the start of a yoga practice, you'll go through rotating between cat and cow, because one like brings your spine into a dip and then the other arches it up. So it like helps warm up your spine to get ready for the postures. She's like, this is cat pose. And I was like, no, it isn't. That's cow. What are you doing?
I don't think Charlie was going to know the difference.
I think lots of people don't know the difference.
But I don't know who the spooky cat of the season is, but it's not Charlie. He's not doing it.
Well, you know what I mean when I say spooky cat, right?
I do understand what you mean. Honestly, a great visual that you did paint, to be honest.
Whatever.
I'm not, again, I am supporting you.
It feels like you're mocking me. It's so rude.
I would rather watch a spooky cat than many of these people, to be fair.
I would much rather watch a spooky cat than any of these people.
not any.
Who would you rather watch than a spooky cat?
Who would I not replace on the cast with a spooky cat? That's a great
question. No one. again. I would replace them all with spooky cats.
Yeah, that's fair. Honestly, just like a pet cam of watching a whole bunch of spooky cats would be pretty entertaining at this point.
Like, I would be more entertained by watching, like, when the feeds go down for Big Brother and they show you adoptable animals than I am by this season.
I would keep Alana for now. I would keep probably, like, I would give Bailey a shot on a season. There's a few people here that I'm not, like, mad at being on the show. I like Trina enough, but, you know, I would take, you know, a good half of this cast replaced by cats. That would be good.
I think it'd be really funny if Trina, Alana, and Bailey had to live with a bunch of cats.
Honestly, would watch that show. Just them and 11 cats.
How do I get on that show? Kira and Will get their first date. And it was so, like, they're really bad at this maze, hey?
Yeah, I don't know. I think that Will was just, like, trying to delay having the conversation about boyfriend and girlfriend. Like, oh no, don't go over there. We're not going there yet. Just keep turning. Maybe if we run around long enough, they'll cancel the date.
I just think if you are having conversations with someone about how you are falling for them, about how much you care about them and how your feelings are growing, and yet you refuse to define the relationship, that's a red flag.
So here's the thing.
Like, I don't think in general that it should be encouraged to be like, oh, well, we're going to be boyfriend, girlfriend after 3 weeks or anything like that. But I do think saying those things implies that you're at a place where you would be ready for that. And so then it's weird when he's not.
I am only trying to factor in, and this could be wildly off, but I'm only wondering, with English being his second language, if falling, you know, may not have the same weight as generally you would assume it is falling in love. I am falling in love with this person, which seems pretty serious. I would say usually you're, you know, DTRing a lot earlier than you saying you are falling in love with someone. But for Will, English being a second language, I'm wondering if it's, like, not an exact translation or whatever the case may be. I think that more than likely it is, and he knows what he's saying. But that's, like, the 0.1% that I am also acknowledging that it may be slightly off there, because I don't really understand the hesitation.
Yeah, I definitely, I'll give him that grain of salt. I'll do that. But I also just feel like, it's the most 23-year-old thing in the world that Kira's like, okay, I'll take this. I'll take these crumbs.
Yeah, that grain of salt, I will take it. The one that we're giving Will, that is, I will accept that as well.
That she's like, I want enough grains of salt to have a pretzel.
If I get through a year, I will have 4 grains of salt. That sounds great.
Yeah, and so it's just like, it's a really weird vibe. It doesn't make sense to me.
It's just, I don't know. I feel for Kira here. I actually think this may be also one of Kira's better stretch of episodes. She was wildly unpopular with fans at the beginning. I think she was portrayed as pretty insecure. And I don't know that that's not the case here, but here she has reason to be. Like, he's not defining the relationship. She knows about how Casa Amor went. Like, Kira is a sympathetic figure at this moment where I don't know if people felt that way early on. So I think it's playing a lot better. I like Kira here. You know what? She can stay on the cat show as well for now, given the stretch of episodes. But I feel bad for her in this moment.
Yeah, for sure. I'm feeling for her for sure. I just don't.
I've seen this before, like, where she says, like, I don't care about the title as long as we're acting like it. Like, I don't need the title. I've seen that before. It's still a little bit of a red flag. I understand that you're acting like it. but it's a little bit of a red flag.
See, to me, that's worse when you're acting like it and you're having that experience and you're getting like the boyfriend girlfriend experience, but yet they're like, but I'm not ready for that. I'm like, well, but what's the difference? You're already doing all those things. That's a really big red flag.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. I don't know. It's the theme of these episodes, I would say, is the will and Kira, will they, won't they? And we're just at the beginning of it.
Yeah. Ugh. So after this date, Ariel does come because there is an elimination. And the top three couples were Trina and Andre, Kira and Will, and Corey and Olivia, which is, I'd say, exactly what you'd expect.
Mm-hmm. Only solidified that we need to be voting for Trina and Andre. They will live their separate lives happily ever after.
Trina will take the money, please.
So yeah, that's where I'm at. This was a pretty predictable top three couples for me. I even wonder if, you know, this vote were to happen now, to Will and Kira fall out of this top three, given their current screen, you know, given their current storyline.
Maybe, but the Islanders would have saved them anyways.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
Because, yeah, the Islanders save Jeremy and Bailey and then Charlie and Alana. So Casey and Ellie leave. And this is where I need to say something. And I'm speaking directly to the producers of Love Island USA over at CBS. I know you're listening and I need you to listen very carefully to me. Stop giving the Islanders rights. They should not be allowed to make any decisions at all. They don't know what makes good TV. They've proven time and time again that they do not deserve the responsibility of making a decision. And I need you to take that away from them forever moving forward.
Not a single right for any.
No rights. They don't deserve rights.
I think it's such a problem. I don't have an issue with like once a season or twice a season. Even.
I like when it's like, oh, you're going to split up these couples.
Yes, that is better. I would say you have to choose to save someone from the couples. I mean, the problem this season is it's just always going to be the new person going, which it's going to be a lot of times.
But like extra really, bad this season.
They didn't have one vote at all. We're just, the bottom couple goes home, which is a problem.
We needed that because Jeremy would have been gone.
Yeah, I do think that he would have been gone at some point along the way.
Many times. There have been, like, we have been trying. We've been putting our blood, sweat, and tears and into voting this man off of the show. And production said, no, we'll let you keep your little friend, even though he's not funny.
Mm-hmm. Jeremy's dad at CBS, just keeping him there.
Honestly? I've got my tinfoil hat on.
Not ideal, really. I feel like there are multiple different ways to eliminate people, and I feel like they have defaulted to only one for the majority of this season, which has kind of sucked.
Yeah.
Were you surprised that Charlie and Alana were saved rather than Casey and Ellie?
I think that if Trina had not had that conversation with Charlie, that he would have been gone.
See, I wonder if it came down to Ellie also being very open and being like, this man is a friend. I never see anything with this person ever in my life. I'm not even that interested in speaking to him after this moment.
Yeah, that's a good call. I do think that that played a big role in it because he was obviously such a bad kisser that she broke things off forever.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like Bailey's like, yeah, Jeremy's a great kisser. It's just a lot of tongue.
Stop.
She said it.
No.
She literally said it in the confessional. You know, it's like a gun was to her head. It's like Jeremy was like behind the scenes being like, tell them I'm a good kisser. I swear to God.
A definite point of evidence.
Jeremy's dad was in the booth with her.
Stop. No. No. A definite point in evidence of Bailey specifically not deserving rights for saying that. But... I don't know. I wasn't ultimately
Maybe she should be a spooky cat instead.
Oh, no, not Bailey. I don't know. I wasn't ultimately too surprised at people that they've known for 2 days getting voted out of the villa at this point. But I did think that given the conversations, considering exacting their revenge on Charlie, that it would have been possible he went here. I don't know if it was that they liked Alana too much or the guys had bonded with Charlie, but enough to pull them through.
They're here for now.
Yeah, I mean,
I think they'll be gone tomorrow.
Oh, I think they are not currently in the villa in real time.
Yep. Okay, now here's where I have to confess that I did not watch the Monday episode, because if Paramount wants me to watch Paramount Plus exclusive episodes, they need to make the show good.
Okay, well, a group setting happened.
Okay.
In which, for some unspoken reason that I don't want to know, frankly, Sarah Palin came up and Olivia said, "I can see Russia from my house." Who took that to be an earnest statement from Olivia and thought Olivia could actually see Russia from her house?
See, and here's the situation. Every time someone's been a whole dumbass, it's been Corey. So I have to guess Corey.
It was Corey.
Yeah.
He did think that Olivia could walk outside and see Russia.
I mean, maybe she can. You don't know. Have you ever been to Alaska?
I do know. I do know that that's not the case.
Hey. It's much closer together than it looks on maps, just so you know.
Sure. You know what? I'm not giving him the benefit of the doubt. He also, at one point, when they're cheersing with Olivia, he's like, "Cheers, mate." And she's like, "Why'd you call me your mate?" He's like, "Oh, everyone in Britain, like Britain does this." Like, I don't think you understand why they do it, though. I don't think you understand what it means.
Just means friend.
Yeah, I know. But just like... Like, the thing is, maybe that was a, like, Freudian slip. Like, did yes. Me and you, we're friends.
We'll be mates. Did Corey do it in his horrible British accent?
Honestly, I tuned it out if he did.
I think, okay, because Corey's walking around the whole season. I'm going to say something, and I need to give a trigger warning. This is going to be offensive to people from the United Kingdom. I can't do accents. But he's like... Cheers, mate.
All right, Australian.
Was that Australian?
Yeah, a little bit.
I'll take it.
Like, you know, they originated in the UK, I guess. So,
so did we all. Well, not all of us, but you and I.
Oh, fair. Fair, fair.
Whatever. I said it was going to be offensive. They went to the hideaway and did nothing also. I guess it was just the mateship.
It's the mateship for me.
Not the mateship.
I don't know. It was... The most eventful thing was Corey knocking the LED lights off the wall. Like, that really... I don't know. Olivia did say... had, you know, right after coming back and also in a truth or dare session, again, we played truth or dare again, that like, oh, I really needed to brush my teeth. And I was like, cool. Cool, bro.
Is that supposed to mean she gave him head? I don't understand.
I feel like it is the implication. I don't know if maybe she just forgot her toothbrush and didn't bring it to the hideaway. That could is also.
Yeah, because I've got to break it to you, Olivia, if you're listening. You really need to brush your teeth every morning. It should be part of your morning routine. Regardless of what shenanigans you've been up to the night before.
I brought my retainer, but did forget my toothbrush to do after. Like, cool.
Ew.
Yeah, I don't know. They stayed up talking the night away, but I don't know how much actually happened in this hideaway. I feel like maybe could have been better used elsewhere.
It's horrific. It's truly horrific. Anyways, Tuesday, we finally get the tweet challenge that we've been waiting for. How did you feel about that challenge?
I was about to ask you how you would rate it out of 10.
So 10 is good?
Yes, 10 is good.
One is bad.
Yes. I mean, that would generally be the opposite side of the now, scale in a scale of 1 to 10.
Now, what's the lowest I can rate the challenge?
All right. It's sounding like Corey right now. you heard the scale.
I want to give it like a 2.
I think a 4 is probably, it did create drama.
Okay. Do you want to call it even and we'll give it a 3?
A 3 is okay. I feel like there was some stuff here. And the problem is, like, you see at the point where they're like, Bailey's not genuine. Like, that's not a storyline on the show. No one like has ever thought that. I'm sure it has 3 likes on Twitter.
Like, yeah, what was that tweet? Here, let's look it up and see if we can find it.
Did you have the Twitter handle ready to go? Because I do not.
No, but I feel like if we look up Bailey is not genuine in quotes.
Okay, good luck, because I don't know that that is going to necessarily show up. I don't know if they used is or is not or is not isn't. Good luck there. I just feel like there's not that much to say about a lot of these new Islanders. So I really was looking forward to the Will and Kira, the Olivia and Corey tweets, but I don't think there was much to even go over outside of them. Like, there was no potential. It's not like they flopped. They could have. It's not like they had better tweets to pick from. It's just that there's only so many people that have drama to be revealed or negative opinions about them to be revealed from the outside.
Not everyone on Twitter being like, I'm sorry, I've never seen one tweet about Bailey. Production must have made that up.
Other shows that behind the scenes, having been to like an after show filming, it's like, oh, this person tweeted in. It's like, okay, this is pre-taped, so no, they did not tweet in. That's a production assistant making up a tweet, but sure. So I don't know how many of these are real either, but I would assume at least 1 or 2.
I think some of them were real for sure. I think the one about Jeremy being the Grim Reaper was actually legitimately funny.
Yeah, that was good. You know, more comedy than Jeremy has displayed on the show throughout the season.
I really thought that the one about Andre being the Tupperware because he has all the leftovers, I really thought that was going to be about Jeremy as well.
True. I really, honestly, I thought it might have been about Corey.
Yeah, that would have been another good option. I thought it was between Corey and Olivia and the one I just said that my brain is malfunctioning. Jeremy, thank you.
I understand why your brain would want to protect you from Jeremy.
Do you know how sometimes you're like in the middle of saying something and your brain just is like, absolutely not.
We're not allowed to go there.
Like, we're not doing that. That's my, like, I feel like I'm a sim and I just like went into a room and I like forgot why I went into the room.
The player X'd out your ass.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, okay, well, I'm here now. How did I get here and where am I going?
Did you know that Corey has not coupled up with the same person at 2 recouplings? He has been coupled up with someone new every single recoupling of this entire show.
I did know that.
That is wild.
Because he doesn't know how to talk to women.
It is almost unfathomable to be here from the beginning and not end up with the same person at least twice. Like, even Olivia, who he's going to finish the show with, it was the last recoupling that they ended up together.
I really liked the tweet about how Charlie is really boring and then the confessional where they just buried him.
The thing is, though, I was like, this could be about 10 of the cast members.
Oh yeah, it could have been, but
Charlie probably was the most fitting,
yeah,
to be honest.
And Charlie gets it and he's in the confessional and he's like, yeah, I am. They think I'm boring. Don't really know what to say about that. And then like blinks at the camera for 4.5 minutes. and they leave in like a good 30 seconds of that.
Oh, Charlie.
Okay, Charlie. I did like the tweet about how Olivia doesn't like Corey. Except for, again, I think only good actors should win awards.
Yeah, I feel like, you know what? I'm glad that the Olivia is fake fans got representation on the show.
Representation matters.
But I feel like it could have been meaner.
It should have been, to be honest.
Like, Corey was not fazed by this at all, and I wanted him to be fazed.
It's because Corey is a golden retriever, and he also doesn't care about Olivia.
Yeah, I don't know. The thing is, I feel like he might. I feel like he might care about Olivia.
I mean, I just think that this is the first time a girl's paid attention to him for 3 days.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's not...
He could have been Bailey, though.
I know, and they would have been so cute.
I have to admit.
I would have really liked Corey and Bailey, actually, I think. And then Olivia and Andre also seemed more genuine.
Yeah, but I do have to admit, I know that Corey is somewhat of a fan favorite. I think he's boring. I have no interest.
Oh, I'm so over it. Like, I felt bad for him for a little while because I was like, oh, he's like a sad puppy who doesn't know how to talk to women and isn't having good luck. From when Will came in and stole Kira from him instantly, I was like, oh, I feel bad for him. And now I'm like, no, I don't feel bad for you. I don't care about you. Like, I tweeted today, like, it's wild how little I care about any of the people on this show. And someone was like, even Corey. And I was like, yes.
Honestly, especially Corey at some point for me.
Not especially. Okay. I wouldn't go that far as especially Corey.
I don't know. He had a good 3 stretch of episodes where he was the underdog. And then I was kind of over it. I'm almost just sad with our weekly segment of the dumb thing that Corey said, but like, it's past a point of being funny almost for me, where I'm just like, I'm upset at this.
Like, I'm upset at the public education system. Yes. I'm upset at every like influence that has ever been in Corey's life. I'm upset that no one taught him how to talk to women. He makes me sad, and I don't want to watch this show to feel sad. I want to watch the show to laugh at hot dummies, and he is a hot dummy.
That is true. He does fit the brand.
You make him the cover of the brand, you know?
That is far. I do not need to be looking at Corey constantly.
Okay, wait, but he's very attractive.
That is fine, but he's
not standing. Let me objectify a man in peace.
I'm not standing.
And then there's a tweet about how Will and Kira never have deep conversations, but I hate that they didn't expose like the third name.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it was obviously Flo.
Well, yeah, but they should have just put it there.
The thing is, I don't think that Flo's name was in the tweet, but like, you know what? This isn't Twitter. We have an edit button. We can throw it in there. At least put it like in parentheses, like then her parentheses flow. Like, we need to know who you're speaking of.
Exactly. Like, I just want a little more info. And this is what spurs all of the drama of the remainder of the week, because afterwards, this is where Trina and Olivia feel empowered to tell Kira they're worried about her, because up to this point, anytime it gets brought up, Kira's like, oh, I just want to be done with it. Mm-hmm. She like turns into a gremlin.
It's hard because I understand where she talks at one point about like, I can't stress out about the possibility of a lie. Like, I'm going to get out of here and I'm going to find out if it's true or not, and I'll deal with it then. But like, why am I going to make myself not happy for this moment when it could not be true and he could be fine, and maybe it was bad, but it wasn't as bad as like the tweet would make it seem. I mean, it's probably as bad.
It's also worse. Just wait until Kira sees where Will goes, oh, but if I brought Flo back to the villa, that would make me a hypocrite. And Josh is like, yeah,
I don't know. I do think that ultimately it was always Kira. Like, I don't think that Will actually wanted to pick Flo and felt like he was obligated to pick Kira. I don't think that's what it is, but I do think that he strayed more than
he was 50-50. He said that to the boys.
Again, I believe it. I believe that he was really debating it and like did stray way more than he should have, or more than she would like. But I think like still ultimately, like, who could you see something developing outside of the show? Yeah, it's the person who lives down the street from me rather than the person who lives across the across an ocean. So yes, I do think that Kira is ultimately the better choice, even if they are not like 100% the better match, strictly because of physical location. But also for Kira, like, we're in the last week of the show. We are the only established couple who has been together longer than one recoupling. If I don't mix this up, I feel like I have a decent shot of winning. So, because being portrayed as the couple who is really in doubt if they're even going to stay together for the last week is not a winning strategy. And yes, I would love for things to work out with Will, but I would also like $100,000. So I understand the motivation to also brush it under the rug at this point.
Oh, 100%.
100,000%, you might say.
Ooh, yeah. I just think it's interesting, too, because it goes from Kira talking to Will about how she's so frustrated it keeps coming up to the girls bringing it up. And now she's like got some doubts.
Mm-hmm. I love it. She's like, I don't want it to come up anymore. And they're like, we're bringing it up. She's like, thank you for bringing it up.
I also like there was one point in the Wednesday episode where she's like, guys, like when I'm in a relationship, I'm blinded to the truth. So I need you guys to point things out. But when Shannon tried to point things out to her, she was like, how dare you disrespect my relationship?
Yeah, maybe not the closest relationship in the villa, I would guess, if that was the reaction.
Yeah. You're right. She talks to Corey about it. She tells Corey what Will had said about Casa Amor. And Corey's like, well, I don't really talk to Will that much, but like what you're telling me is what I saw.
Who's Will? I've only known him for 6 weeks. Like, how do you not talk to someone that much in this villa?
Like, it's not that big. Like, you'd think you'd want any social time with anyone.
Mm-hmm. It's big, but it's not that big.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I feel like Corey likes the gossip. Him and Cash would trade info all the time. I would be collecting that information. I want to, like, Will, we're bros now. Let's talk about it. Like, Corey knows.
Corey gets it. Yeah. And so then she's like, okay, well, I'm going to have to talk to Will about it. Olivia and Trina are nervous about it because, oh my God, what if she gives him an ultimatum and then you don't know what he really wanted to do?
I feel like it was kind of presented as that she was going to, like, not a we need to be boyfriend and girlfriend, but like, we need to sort this. I need some type of commitment on the outside world. And I don't think she ultimately does this, but I do agree that ultimatums are generally bad. You don't get their real answer. Someone's giving you an ultimatum, it also kind of is a problem. Like, it's already doomed to begin with, I think.
No, if someone gives you an ultimatum, turn around and walk away.
Mm-hmm. I just don't feel like, especially if it's like, but there's an argument between two people or something, and like one of those two people is giving you an ultimatum. Like, it's generally a red flag. If it's one person, it's two people, whatever the case may be, ultimatums are not generally going to lead to great results. So I'm glad she didn't go that way. But I also would be nervous about Kira having this conversation.
Yeah, it's like she obviously has to talk about it.
Mm-hmm. It's rough.
And yeah. So she brings up, like, I came in here to find love, and I just want to know if you're on the same page as me. Like, are you looking for something serious like that? And I feel like Will is very much like, obviously not. Like, I feel like it's very clear because he's like, oh, you know, I just don't want to rush too much. Like, I feel like we're in a good place. Like, why are we rushing?
Yeah, I was like, is this getting gaslighty almost with like, we both agree. We both agree vehemently. Honestly, it was your idea. It was your idea not to put labels on this. And we both agreed. I almost wanted them, but you have talked me into it. Like, okay, well, sure. We both agreed that we want this.
It is. He is a little gaslighty. I do get that vibe.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if, like, the thing is, I think that he probably, given the vibes that, and like the conversations that we've seen, it seems like most likely Will was like, I don't really feel like I need to rush this. And Kira was like, I feel the exact same way. So I don't know that he realizes that only he feels like this, because we also see Kira being like, yes, if he asked, I would say yes immediately. And I would like jump for joy and blah, blah, blah.
And whatever. I would love to marry him and have his babies.
Mm-hmm. Would say yes right now to an engagement, all down. But I do think that to him when they're having a conversation, he brings up something like that. Kira's being agreeable and saying like, yes, I feel the exact same way. So I don't know that he knows that he is coming off as gaslighty, but it is a little bit in that vein.
I think the problem with a cast of such good looking people is that probably a lot of them are narcissists and they don't even know it.
Honestly, don't even have to be that good looking to be a narcissist. So is fair, would be as well.
Oh, yes. I'm not out here acting like I'm like better than. But I think that increases your chances.
I think that's fair.
Yeah. So it's just like, okay, whatever. Then the meat of the Wednesday episode was just the family chats where the family comes in on video. I don't think that we're going to have to like really go into like deep depth on all of this. But first up was Trina's family and Andre's family. And I have to say, regardless of Andre's marital status, I think it's actually really messed up that they brought his daughter on to meet this woman that he has been in a couple with for 3 days.
I agree. I was like, okay, I understand that like she's gonna be there to say hi. I don't know that they need to meet. I don't know that everyone needs to meet each other's families here. Yeah. I'm looking up right now. How many of these couples have been coupled up for more than one recoupling?
Will and Kira.
Okay.
That's it.
I think that's it.
Trina and Andre were from the last one. Alana and Charlie were from the last one. Jeremy and Bailey were from the last one. Corey and Olivia are from the last one. Will and Kira are the only ones that have been together more than one coupling.
Yeah. So it's just like, it's so weird for any of these people to be meeting each other's families over Zoom in general, just any of them, because it's not like Will and Kira are suddenly stable either. Like, maybe we could have cut this as well.
They could have given people calls with their family in a private room where they don't have, like, where they have the choice if they want the person to meet their parents.
Mm-hmm. Like, if I'm Andre, I'm more likely to introduce Will to my parents than Trina. Mm-hmm. Like, they have a better bromance than anything between Andre and Trina this point.
And just because, like, and again, I know we talked about it last week about how, like, when you would disclose that you have kids, that kind of thing. And I mean, again, I'm a childless person, so I take this with a grain of salt, but I feel like if you are a parent, it probably takes a while before you feel comfortable like introducing someone to your kids. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to introduce someone to my cats too fast, and they're cats.
So I looked down for a moment. Did Trina not know Andre's child's name?
She said, what is your daughter's name?
Yeah.
Like, it was not the time for her to be meeting his child. Like, it's weird that was kind of sprung on them by production. I think he should have gotten to FaceTime his daughter separately by himself. Like, and it just was very, very uncomfortable for me. And I felt like that needed to be said.
Mm-hmm. I don't know that anyone under 18 should be on Love Island. I think that is a problem in itself.
I honestly agree.
Jenny was borderline too young to be on the show for me. Like, I don't know that it was appropriate she was here. So, like, someone's daughter is here. Like, this is a problem.
Sorry, I forgot Jenny exists.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about this.
I feel bad.
Yeah, I mean, I do know how I feel. I was thinking more in the, like, if there is an established couple, I guess that, like, that's fair. I don't know that they would have brought Andre's daughter in person to see him, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, maybe we shouldn't be doing it over Zoom either.
The minute you said, I don't know how I feel about this, all I can think about now is Bo Burnham being like, yeah, how are we feeling out there tonight? Yeah, I am not feeling good.
Yeah, that sums up pretty much how I'm feeling about the family visits in general.
And the season.
Fair. Very fair. So, I don't know. I think that Trina and Andre, one of the many awkward family visits that we have here.
Yes. Followed up by the extremely awkward Alana and Charlie visit, where Charlie's mom literally brings up grandkids. They have been together half a second. Stop it. Stop it, Charlie's mom. How dare you?
Sometimes you just make choices and you have to live with it, and then you have grandkids with it. Like, it might be the case that they're on. Gotta live with it. Gotta have grandkids. It's just as defaulting by this point.
See, I just want better for Alana.
Truly not a great situation to be in. For someone to be bringing up grandkids as he is saying that you are the last resort, final option.
Like, it's like, yeah, we're friends.
Mm-hmm. Literally better chance with anyone else in this villa besides me. Not me. I'm good.
Oh, just poor Alana. Jeremy and Bailey get theirs. And the only thing notable for me is that Bailey has a twin sister who is obviously equally as stunning as she is. Mm-hmm. And Jeremy's mom tells him to cool it with the kissing.
Jeremy, you're not good at it. Stop doing it. Everyone's talking about it. Stop doing it. Stop giving them reasons to bring it up.
And then she makes like some sort of weird joke, and then Bailey's like, oh, does he talk like that at home too?
Yeah, apparently Jeremy talks in like a sing-songy voice sometimes, which I don't feel like we were privy to until this moment.
Oh, I feel like we've seen just enough of it for me to know I can't stand
really?
It. Not to the level of how he was with his mom, but like, not good.
I do like also that she's like, Jeremy is a great friend, because this couple has no future. They are friends, but also that's Jeremy's priority in the villa is making friends and not a single relationship.
Well, except for obviously Florida, who was his soulmate that was ripped so cruelly from his clutches.
Yes, definitely. We're meant to be and not just taken out in time for him not to get over her also.
Ugh. The Corey and Olivia of it all was so uncomfortable for me. Corey's mom is like, oh, I'm so proud of you, but like, I could have done without knowing that you've slept with 29 women. And he goes, how do you know that? And I'm like, now, is he making a funny joke or does he genuinely not remember that it was on the show? This is a serious question when it comes to Corey.
He seemed genuine, which is a problem.
Corey, you know what? I said Corey's a golden retriever earlier. I was wrong. He is a goldfish.
I mean, Corey, he does have a dog named Flex as well, which I feel like exactly what I would have expected from Corey.
That's a horrible name for a dog.
Yeah, it's bad. It's not ideal. Sorry to anyone that does have a dog named Flex.
No, I'm not.
There's still time to rename him.
I'm not sorry. If your dog's name is Flex, fix that. It's a horrible name.
It's you know, there are lots of other options out there.
It sounds too close to like other words.
It rhymes with other words. Yes, that is true.
Ugh, whatever. Olivia and her mom though have like a very emotional conversation about how Olivia's not broken. She can feel things, and I'm like, good Lord.
Okay, but when Olivia's mom and Corey are like interacting, it was so short. Like, he immediately leaves, first of all, but it's also like, how do you feel about Corey? And she's like, nice boy. Like, could not be shorter with him, has nothing to say.
I like
no bonding here.
I liked when Corey left, he very awkwardly goes, you're very beautiful too.
Oh, okay. Sure, Corey. He's trying to recouple. He knows that the prospects, he can't stay with one woman for too long.
Well, you don't get to sleeping with 29 women by staying with one for any length of time.
Yeah, the season high of 29 as compared to the low that would be on any UK season.
Hey, Cinco had slept with zero-ish.
Yeah, zero-ish.
I just think it's funny because he obviously has slept with more people than that.
Oh, yes.
And it's just, like, that was his like low estimate and he gave the highest number of everyone. The like North American obsession with like having a low body count is so weird.
It's an interesting part of our culture for sure.
Yeah,
an odd one.
It's odd. Okay. And then the episode ends. Finally, we get the Kira and Will of it all. Will's family was super positive.
Okay, you're brushing way too fast past Olivia's mom asking her if Corey could be her husband.
Again, remember when my brain blocked out something about 10 minutes ago? I'm sorry. Like, what a just out of control thing to say to your child.
It's, again, so weird because she's so short with him, at least what we see on the episode, when she's describing him, like, to Olivia. She's like, he seems like a nice boy. Like, nothing beyond that, has nothing to say about him. But then also is like, so are you getting married? So, like,
she's like, you came in here for a husband. Do you think he's your... I don't think that she's asking her, like, oh, are you going to marry Corey? I think she's trying to be like, remember how you came in here for a husband? Like, do you really think this is your husband?
Like, at first, like, I got kind of cold vibes from Olivia's mom, and I was like, oh, maybe this makes sense. But I don't even know, was she like razzing her, like, remember how you said you were to come in for my husband and now you're with Corey?
I'm sorry, I'm supposed to understand these people? I don't know.
Yeah, Olivia says that Corey is everything she's been looking for, which I don't believe in the slightest.
She didn't know what she was looking for.
Has said multiple times, but again, the few things that she has said she's wanted, I don't know that that matches up here.
Corey is a whole idiot. Like, I'm sorry. Like, we've got enough evidence at this point that I think I can say it with confidence.
Yeah, he's a hot dummy, and that is...
He is very hot and very dumb, and that's fine, but I don't think that's what Olivia wants from a husband. Also, she's not attracted to him, or they would have boned in the hideaway.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I said boned in 2021.
I mean, I was going to brush right past it again, blocked out in my mind. Yeah, also, but you had to bring it back
up. I had to bring it back up because I'm disappointed in myself and I needed to sit in that shame for a moment. Because
you also might not deserve rights, may replace you with a spooky cat.
Can I be the spooky? I would love nothing more than to be a spooky cat instead of a human.
It's kind of your vibe.
Cats don't have to pay bills. And you just can get like a full body massage whenever you want it. But if you don't want the massage, you can scratch someone and people are like, just cats.
Fair.
Anyways, stay tuned for when I get replaced with a spooky cat on the next recap. Okay, can we talk about Will and Kira now?
We can.
I loved this so much. Kira's little sister was like crying the whole time.
She's like, yeah, I'm just happy.
It was really cute. I thought that she was really sweet.
Yeah, I liked her.
But it was so awkward. I feel like the interaction between Will's family and Kira's family was also very awkward. Will's family was so positive and like, yes. And Kira's family was like polite, but not in like an overly warm kind of way.
Yeah, I really liked Will's family. I liked how they were like, you're welcome in Medellin anytime. Like, we're so excited to meet you. And from like Will's family's perspective, Kira seems great. Like, I don't know that you're going to get that far as meeting her, but like, seems like a great prospect to have, assuming travel is all doable.
But, yeah, I feel like if you have a child that dates women and they bring Kira home, you're like, she seems really nice.
Mm-hmm. But then Will leaves and we get Kira's family's impression of Will.
Kira's,
and it's not great.
Kira's dad unleashed.
This man hates Will.
Hates him so much. He's like, yeah. I want him dead. He doesn't deserve rights or life.
And that's the thing is, I wonder in general, like I said, there's motivation for Kira to hold back in this becoming a storyline in the final week. There's also motivation for Kira's family to hold back in this becoming a storyline because you would like your daughter, I presume, to win $100,000 and then you can set her straight. But her dad can't stop himself. She's like, I'm 100% in on Will. He's like, yeah, what is Will on you? 50-50? Like, oh my God.
It was a beautiful moment and I loved it so much. And he's like, what?
You roast your daughter that
I know.
Hard.
He's like, what? Okay, 70-30? Like, keep saying percentages, Kira's dad. Keep going.
Oh my God. It was bad. Like, that was not great.
Listen, it made me, this was the one like crumb of joy that I got over the last like four episodes of this show.
I mean, because this is what you want. You want the like family to stand up for them and like tell them like, oh, here's what happened. I do think it's hard. Like I said, I think there is motivation to let's just get you to the $100,000 and then we can figure it out from there. But Kira's dad's not having that. He says that they had reservations about even coming on the show in the first place.
Yeah.
I understand the hang up about having your name associated with Love Island has long been something I've had to contend with, but
listen, it's too late, bud.
But Kira's dad, also very concerned. I don't know if it was only the show, if it was Will, I think all of it combined, you know, a real 50-50 in his decision.
Hey. Could be 70-30.
It could be 70-30. It could be. Honestly, I do think that's probably more accurate. 70% being associated with Love Island, 30% being associated with Will, in terms of why he would not want to be here.
No, I think it's reverse. 70% Will, 30% Love Island.
Can it be 70-70?
Well, that's 140.
Yeah, but I feel like he feels that strongly about both.
But you can't feel that strongly. 100's the most.
Leave it to Will's dad, to Kira's dad. I
mean, only Corey could be this bad at math. Stop faking it. Come on.
Oh, no.
Come on.
Come on. And we close out with Kira crying behind the stairs alone as Will is like, I think everything went so well. And I know that this is editing magic, but like, I don't believe that he was completely ignorant of the fact that she was crying alone for this long.
Well, it also could have been that those two things did not happen at the exact same time.
No, that's what I'm saying is I don't believe. I think she still was probably talking to her family while he's having this conversation. But the way that it's portrayed with him being like, it went amazing, flash to Kira crying behind the stairs. Like, her family loved me, flash to Kira crying behind the stairs. Like, it was bad.
Yeah, it didn't go great for Will.
Yeah, I think that any shot that they had of winning really went out the window with this stretch of episodes.
Yeah, because this happened, and then we get a preview that tomorrow night is the final dumping.
Mm-hmm. Don't think they'll be dumped.
No, they won't be dumped.
Reserved for Charlie and Alana. But do they even come in second place?
I don't know. Maybe. There's not many prospects is the problem.
Officially, do you have an endorsement for the winner?
My endorsement remains Trina and Andre. We have to get behind them. We need the hive to, you know, swarm or whatever. And we need to vote for Trina and Andre en masse.
Yeah, we have to mobilize the robhasawebsite.com/love Temptation Island fan base to vote for Trina and Andre and to get behind it. Again, they're not a couple. They'll never speak to each other after this show.
No. But
they'll live happy lives separately ever after.
Yes. And I feel like there's a good possibility that one of them might keep the money.
It's possible, whereas I don't think that is happening with Olivia and Corey. Would be the first entertaining moment that they could deliver on the show.
And so, of course, they won't.
That is very fair. But again, sticking by
the only wait. If Olivia and Corey win, the only way that one of them would keep the money is if Corey didn't understand the question. It was like, yeah, of course I want to keep the money. But it's because he thinks that he's just like giving it away otherwise.
No, I don't want to stay on the show. Cher? What? Oh, God. Yeah, no. In keeping with the Trina and Andre endorsement, was not sure given the preview of the Terrorizing Charlie plan. But you know what? Charlie got even more boring, and also the plan never came to fruition.
And maybe so. He should be terrorized a little bit.
We're sticking Trina and Andre all the way. I am really, let's see, maybe we can get them up to second place, hopefully first place. I'm really hoping for it. Would love to see that. Please. Winning couple.
Please.
Just like the most platonic of couples winning Love Island would be fitting for this season, so I think we deserve it.
It is what we deserve. Like, thanks Love Island USA season 3, go ahead and give us the bare minimum. Like, anyways, with that, we're finished talking about Love Island until we actually have a winner.
Yeah, next time we're in here, we will know the winners of Love Island season 3, joining really did blank for a moment on Zach and Elizabeth and Justine and Caleb as the winners. Don't know that we're going to get, I don't know, we'll discuss also where they stack up in the winners, I guess, for Love Island US next week, how the season stacks up, go through the last couple of episodes, but until then.
We're not done yet.
Are we not?
No, because where else can people find you, Scally?
People can find me on Twitter at Brian_Scally. The challenge just started back up tonight, and a little preview on Monday, which was a lot of fun. I have said multiple times that why is the season coming so soon? It's too soon. Please wait. I thought it was coming in September, but you know what? I watched the launch special and everything I've heard so far has been good. I'm excited for the challenge. So people can find that over on the Dom and Colin podcast. To see myself and Matt Ligori and various guests talking about the challenge all season, and also making a little push, hopefully, you know what, I think we're at what, around 185 reviews right now.
That's right.
In the iTunes store. It's a big push. I don't know if it'll happen. Would love to get to 200. So again, that's a big push. Don't sit idly by and think that someone else is going to do it and fill that one slot. No, we need all 15 of you. Mm-hmm. So see if we can hit it. You know, getting through this season has been quite the accomplishment in Love Island, I would say. So I think it's deserved. But yeah, you know, 5 stars only over on the iTunes store. Greatly appreciated. Had some really fun ones. It's always fun to read those. So check that out as well.
Yes, they truly make our lives better. If you want an easy link for that, it's robpeslewebsite.com/Temptation Island, because things make sense. Thank you to AliCast SE Cullen and Mizzou Tiger 89, Tiger, not Tigger, ugh, for your reviews this week. We love reading the 5-star reviews and they make us really happy. So please, please, please leave us some 5-star reviews. It's what we deserve. Cause we're watching all of this and we need validation. And if people want to hear more from me, Riverdale is now back. So I will be over on Kowski Cast talking to Frail Mary about the second half of Riverdale season 5, because they went on like an 8-month hiatus, I guess, because someone's recovering from having a baby. I don't know. That's KowskiCast.com. That's Cow with a K. I also am on BoJack Horsepod talking about BoJack Horseman every week with Lindsay Wilson. I'll be in these Big Brother streets a little bit as well. Jenny Autumn and I broke down the second batch of episodes of F-Boy Island with Ray Sawney, which was absolutely a highlight of my entire life. Scally and I are going to be on the next top 40 countdown for the RHAP top 40 Survivor. We didn't tell them what season yet, right? I don't think we should in this episode.
It's out there.
Well, yeah, but like, you can do the research in case someone hasn't listened to all of David versus Goliath yet.
That's fine. I don't know that anyone's going to be too upset, but you know what? We'll talk about it on the finale.
Hell yeah.
It's the best season of Survivor, I'll say that.
And as someone who makes up all my opinions for me, I have to co-sign that take. So, yes, we'll be back on Sunday to talk about the last bit of Love Island with Pooja Zandvoort. That's right. Yeah, so until next time, bye.
If you're looking for love, well, you've come to the wrong place. Because Kirsten and Scally, well, they don't know a thing. And the men that they cast on this show are truly a disgrace. So we don't care about the love that might be there. Yeah, we just want to see the drama.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.